Was it a mistake for the Bills to not take a receiver?
Is Brandon Bean watching NFL Live? Because I have to be careful now. Look, no, in some ways. I like the players that they drafted a lot, and he is correct in saying they had to add to the defense. They just paid a couple of players there, Greg Rousseau, Christian Benford. So you're going to have to find value at high value, expensive positions, defensive line, corner. I love them adding the players that they did there. I also like this receiving group, but I do kind of wish they added speed. And that's not just about the draft, frankly. That's about free agency as well. I think they've got size. They've got guys who are fantastic working out of the slot. And they added Palmer, who's a great possession receiver. I just would have loved a deep threat for Josh Allen.
NFL Live on ESPN there. I saw Brett Coleman, who I respect greatly as well. He had a good point here about Bills fans that are frustrated that don't have a true number one. But to be honest, half the value of having that guy is just to dictate defensive structure. And that's important. However, your quarterback is Josh Allen. Defensive structure kind of doesn't matter. You're fine. That's what he said. Like, your quarterback is so good, it doesn't matter. He can beat all structures.
Yeah.
Which we'll see. Coleman was one that wrote a piece about the Bills passing game after the Texans, and then, of course, they traded for Amari Cooper. But anyway, we're on in it's a Tuesday, and we're chatting about it. 803-0550. Differences of opinion on how to build a football team. Business model for 20 years. That's what we do here. And we talked to Brandon Bean about it yesterday, and it was spicy and good and passionate and, we're recapping it a little bit. We're also talking about Elijah Moore, who they have in for a visit, which makes total sense. More speedy second rounder, not one of these Isabella KJ Hamler.
No.
Tiny, only speed return man second rounders, but like a real honest to goodness, this guy could play receiver, had 100 targets last year in the NFL. So I think it's as good an idea as anything left.
Yeah. Each of the last 2 years, he's had 100 targets. I think maybe the biggest key difference to why he's been a little more successful, a little more consistent in his career than all these other former second-round picks the Bills have brought in at that position is I just think he's a better route runner than all those guys.
Yeah.
He's a better separator. Like, right, Isabella was crazy speed that he maybe didn't know what to do with. And Claypool, same thing maybe, like crazy size and speed that he just didn't really know how to execute it, how to do it. A tools guy. And Hamler, you could say the same thing. Hamler was crazy speed, whereas Moore, there's more on tape, there's more numbers that back up that he knows how to get open, maybe not at an elite level, but he knows enough to be a guy that's had, he gets you 400, 500 yards minimum every year, and there's a year in there where he gets closer to 700.
Yeah. That's another part of this. I don't know that our conversation this year has been about you got to find a new number one. It's just been about more pieces, and what Mina Kimes said there, speed, which was what the head coach also said. 803-0550, if you want to chime in on that, you can. There's one other name. Deontay Johnson had mentioned him before the draft. He's awesome, but you just can't count on him. He is an awesome wide receiver, an elite separator, some drops, but he went from Pittsburgh to Carolina to Baltimore to Houston in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Or was it Houston to Baltimore? Whatever it was.
Baltimore to Houston.
Okay.
He traded to Baltimore, and then he wasn't playing, and he got mad, and then he went to Houston, and he wasn't playing.
One of those ones I wondered if he was still out there. Would the Bills do that? That's kind of like a Claypool situation. He got kicked off the Dolphins or whatever it was. Didn't go right.
He got kicked off the Bears.
Kicked off the Bears. Went to the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Lasted not that long. Anyway, that's the kind of stuff you usually wait for training camp, but Deontay Johnson has caught on with the Browns, which...
Yeah,
I don't know that it's going to work. He's got tons of ability, but
yeah.
I don't think you can count on him.
Do you remember the game here in Buffalo? Was that Sunday night maybe where he had two drops on the opening drive and Tomlin benched him? And it was like, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Because he was getting open, right? Like, it was a couple of plays. But that's what he does. And I remember a game here where he had a couple of drops early and Tomlin put him on the bench. And it was like obviously a benefit. The Bills.
Give us a ring. We'll talk about defensive backs. We'll talk about safety. We'll talk about McDermott's defense.
They haven't done anything with.
They did not do safety, well, except for Jordan Hancock, who, he could maybe be transitioned from nickel to safety. So That's an option. We'll talk about any of it you want to. 803-0550. And one guy that's going to be interesting to watch is their fourth round pick, Deion Walker, because he's had a back injury. He had a good 2023, not a great 2024. And we'll see if the Bills can get that thing on track. As you said, like, he's their big, big guy that looks like a run stuffer, but maybe isn't one. So we'll see. These draft picks fit a lot of needs, and they have overhauled their front seven. And we'll get some more phone calls here. Thomas in Buffalo. Hey, Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How you feeling?
Feeling all good. Right. How are you?
Thomas.
Hanging in there. Oh, congrats on making it on ESPN, fellas. I wanted to say that first and foremost. But a few points I want to make. The first point is I don't have an issue with us taking a cornerback with our first pick because, like y'all said, we needed one. And at the time for where we was picking, that was the best person on the board. So I don't have an issue with that. But the one thing I will say for everyone who's pissed off that we didn't take a wide receiver, I mean, look at Green Bay. They don't have a true right number one. And look how good they did. Hell, they damn near made the NFC title game. And the second point I want to make is that was one of the best interviews y'all had with Brandon Bean, because I'm actually glad he said what he felt and he didn't hold back. Because I'm tired of listening to all these other interviews where people are just holding back because they're worried about who they're going to piss off or who's going to be mad and who cares. It's like, get over yourself.
Thanks, Thomas.
That's what I'm going to say.
Thanks, Thomas. The follow-up is obviously the Packers drafted two receivers, including their first-round pick.
Yeah. They have guys, and they went after it anyway. Yeah. And
just adding that as a footnote on, look at the Packers. I mean, the Packers looked at themselves and said, first-round pick.
That was true of other teams. I mean, Tampa in round one has two great veteran receivers. Yes, one is coming off an injury, and I'm sure that plays into a little bit too, but they did pay Chris Godwin. Mm-hmm. Like, even though he's coming off an injury, they committed to him, they paid him, and they still spent their first-round pick on a receiver. The Texans used their first draft pick in the early second round on a wide receiver, despite the fact they already have an amazing number one receiver in Nico Collins. Again, you'll find this everywhere.
Is Tank Dell going to miss like the whole year?
He might. Yeah, he might.
Serious injury.
But again, like, it's not. But that's for their number two receiver.
Yep.
And you have guys. You might like your room, but you just are seeing more. You're seeing more. I don't think it's disputable. You're seeing more investment in the position from other teams than you are from the Bills.
And that's one
over the course of several years, going back to when they traded for Diggs. When they traded for Diggs and they signed Sanders, and before that, Beasley and Brown, there was a pocket there where, right around when I mentioned earlier, that comment where Sean McDermott said the wide receiver was their fastball. There was a couple years there where they did it. For the most part, with free agency, maybe never with the draft, but it just hasn't been the same.
Buff in Dallas is up. Hey, Buff.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you?
Morning.
I'm good. I like the draft. I mean, honestly, all the way up until before they picked that tight end and the lineman and stuff like that, and even down to the D tackle from Kentucky. I think that was a pick like a promise. Hey, we get your buddy, we can get you on the team. You know what I mean? Some stuff like that. It happens. So I think I'm with you. I've been on the receiver train for a while. You give us Justin Shorter out of Florida. From there, your credibility just went out the window, because I don't care how good the guy was in high school recruit or whatever, he didn't show us anything at Florida. It was worth taking. Then you just sell him to us like he's the best thing since Randy Moss or something. Then before then, it was Kelvin Benjamin. You know what I mean? So I felt like with Diggs, you know, you got our mouth watering, and we got the best 4 or 5 years of what a structured offense should look like. You know what I mean? With a number one receiver, like right now, I know they scored a lot of points, but I mean, when the play breaks down, don't it look like backyard football to you? Can you be honest with me?
Well, that's good to have. I think that Allen's able to do that.
That's
you got to give him credit.
Yeah, that's something I want to stay in his game. And sometimes I think their offense is a little guilty of taking that out of his game.
Well, this conversation to me is also about, like, it's not even debating what it is, but debating what they were last year is is their model sustainable is the question. They, yes, it absolutely worked last year where when Bean's on with us yesterday and he's saying you can't have Pro Bowlers at every position and he's talking about having an offensive line and having his quarterback and having three good running backs. Like, these are the choices that they've made, that they've prioritized. This is how we're going to build our offense. And in the first year of that experiment, it worked. It worked. It has to come with other things, though. And for me, that is always looking at turnovers and taking care of the ball. And that is the question to me. It's not what happened last year. Is does everybody believe that it just will be like that forever? That if you have this type of offense, that it's sustainable? Because I'm not saying that it won't, but I'm not as sure as the general manager sounds that, yes, this is sustainable, that your run game and your line being great but not having necessarily the best wide receivers and even the best tight ends because the tight ends haven't produced in that way, that that can work. I think you could see a little bit of regression. I don't think you could see a lot because Josh Allen's their quarterback, but I think you could see a little.
I'm trying to think when there was another expect regression point. Was it
about the Bills?
Yeah. Did we have one of those? Hey, there's going to be a regression.
I mean, I know there's a bunch
here
about the Sabres over the years.
That might have been it.
really, like,
that might have been
individuals it. And their goal scoring from a couple of years ago. With the Bills, yeah, I'll try to think on that. I'm sure there's been something, though.
Here's one that might be coming.
Probably 20. Well, we thought about defensive turnovers, didn't we?
Yeah.
It usually is about turnovers in football.
Yeah. That's where, you know, you got Ben Johnson. Here's new coach of the Bears. He hasn't won anything. I know. He's an offensive coordinator that's been to the
NFC Championship
game.
Yep.
He got the job as the Bears. We'll see what the Bears do. They drafted a receiver, even though they're pretty stacked at the position. But Ben Johnson said in one of his interviews before the draft, that the number one thing that determines whether or not you win a game is not turnovers, it's passing EPA differential. Mm-hmm. He's of the which, by the way, a lot of what the Bills have shown to be is the same thing.
Right,
it's
right.
Pass and stop the pass, and you know what we're in now is the really small parts of how are you 4 points better against Kansas City, and there are justifications for both. Just allow four fewer points or score four more points. They're equally valid.
Yeah.
For Bean to say I'd take the ball with Josh Allen down three every time, all right, you got that. Let's find a way to get those 4 points. It is two games against the Chiefs in a row where they did not get into the end zone.
Yeah. Well, in those situations, you know, not to pick on that clip, that quote too much that he makes, is if you are in those situations where it is a late fourth quarter situation and you are down, what are you doing? Or what at least should you be doing? I know they ran the ball on first down of that final drive against the Chiefs. But when the clock is ticking and you don't have a lot of time and you're down, then you have to be more and more reliant on your pass game. And you saw, like, what the Bills tried to do on that final drive to beat the Chiefs last year was to do what they've been doing all season, which was they tried to run the ball a little bit, even though they didn't have a lot of time for it. And they tried to throw screen passes. And they had a hero ball moment from Josh Allen that almost pulled them out of it like it can do at certain times. And that to me is the difference, in my opinion, about what just the little differences that they could have in their offensive build is when you get into that situation again and you are down three, the situation the GM would take with the ball in the quarterback's hands to have another card to play that isn't just running the ball, screen passes, yak plays, the stuff that did get them there but did not get them over the finish line.
Scott in Rochester up next.
Hey, guys. First off, kudos for keeping your cool yesterday. I think the most off-putting part for me was Brandon Bean had always come off as a calm, cool, collective, like Southern gentleman. And yesterday was like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of moment for me. Like we've never experienced that side of him. And it was very off-putting, if I'm being honest. I was a little, my opinion of him definitely changed a little bit. And I know, Jeremy, you're a fellow 1979er. Do you remember when Ryan Leaf lost it on the media back in the day?
Yes. Don't talk to me about that. Knock it off. Yeah.
He freaked out. It was in the locker room, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly. That's all I can think of. And all I can think of is, like, Dean's alter ego now Brandon Lee, where he's going to lash out and be like, don't talk to me about receivers, all right? Knock it off. Yeah. Like, it's just, it was very off-putting. You know, credit for what he's done with this team. Like, there's no doubting the success of this team and what they've done for the franchise, especially coming out of the drought. But there's no need to, like, think to that lowest common denominator and be like, oh, this isn't fantasy football, and I drafted Josh Allen. It was just, his whole tone is very off-putting. I hope maybe he does a little reflecting on that. I don't think he needs to issue an apology or anything, but he just, I don't know. It was very off-putting, and I hope he's better with the media moving forward. That's all. And thank you guys for all you do. I listen often, and I don't think it was warranted what he did. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Scott. I'll kind of defend being here. Like, you know, everyone's going to snap every once in a while. Listen. If you're tired of hearing me say something, I can identify with that. I get tired of hearing myself talk all the time. So if he's tired of hearing me talk about receivers, he's not alone, and that's okay. I would echo the idea that he is often very buttoned up, very good. I think McDermott does this well, too. Think about McDermott. McDermott had this image of under control, fundamentals. Mm-hmm. We don't really see him get all that angry. And I would say all the time to people here, like, I think behind the scenes, he is a fireball of competitiveness. I don't think you ever have to doubt that these guys are competitive.
Mm-hmm.
NFL teams, you know, there's full PR operations to make sure that things always look good. That's what, think about this. What's the most interesting thing that's happened to the Bills in the last year? Diggs drama. Oh, he tweets stuff. James Cook, get him out of here because he said he wants $15 million. Mm-hmm. As soon as anything goes outside of the building, what do the GM and coach say? We'd like to keep that in-house. Want to keep that in-house.
Mm-hmm.
They are constantly trying to protect their own information, protect the image. It's kind of like the NFL with the shield. These teams are very protective. And I do want to leave a little bit of space for a GM to get fired up about something, whether that's some host crosses him the wrong way or he's mad at a player. Bean got spicy on the J.D. McKissick's agent, right?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so I want to, of course, leave room for you to go off the handle. Lord knows I've done it plenty of times in 20 years on these airwaves, and when I do it, sometimes I feel like, all right, maybe it was a bit of a launch. But, you know, so I want to leave space for that, but appreciate the call. Madeline, and, oh, go ahead, Joe.
Just very quickly, I don't think it, like, any idea that it, like, is his reputation now, to me, isn't the case. I mean, he's been here long enough, and like you said, like how buttoned up they've been in front of the media before him specifically. Like, the reason it kind of is shocking in a way is because it is kind of unlike him in the. It's different than like when, you know, Ken Dorsey is just very new on the job at offensive coordinator, and it's his second game, and he is tearing up the booth on camera.
That's a great point.
That becomes his reputation because it happens right away when we first start finding out about him. We've got 7 years.
Sure.
It's very different.
Yeah, and he's still here and still one of Buffalo's people, so he's got, you know, lots of support. And I don't know, maybe he was out reading bad draft grades and, you know, could have been a couple things. Madeline in Virginia. Hey, Madeline, good morning.
Hey, guys. I completely agree with everything you said. I called yesterday on the afternoon show and talked about a little bit of this. But I feel like since then I've kind of softened on what his point of view may have been. I mean, obviously we all know, like, the defense was needed. I mean, we all agree last year it wasn't the best. We couldn't stop, like, the pass for the first time ever, which was crazy. And so, like, I don't think anybody who thinks that Dean was out of line there probably disagrees with that, because that's such a blatant need that we all, like, obviously saw. But again, like, I think he kind of insulted the fans and you guys, obviously, with the whole fantasy football thing, and that wasn't great. And again, like, a lot of the people who are agreeing with Dean, again, I think they're just people who haven't watched the show. I mean, I find a lot of people who are criticizing the media and things like that, especially on the local level, they're just not, you know, watching you guys on a regular basis, and I watch you guys every day, so, you know, maybe I'm just more well-read than the average listener. But I do think that I was a little bit confused as to some of where he was coming from, because he did kind of neglect the wide receiver position for a while after, you know, we had Diggs. I mean, Beasley had to come back, and, you know, there's a reason Cooper hasn't been re-signed yet. So we need speed on offense, and I don't think Bean would disagree with that, but it is a little bit confusing for him to come out in that way because, you know, I understand the whole, we scored 30-plus points, and that's understandable. Like, we did. Our offense was fantastic, but points don't always equate winning. I mean, the Chiefs got to the Super Bowl without scoring that much. So, yeah, I don't know.
Thanks,
yeah, Madeline. Thanks, Madeline, for the call.
That is another part of this, like the context of multiple years. You know, someone will write to me like, oh, who should they have taken? It's like, I don't know. Anybody. That's kind of the idea about the business point of this. Like,
yeah.
You go, cycle in the last five drafts and swap out three, you know, late running backs or defensive ends or fifth round and just throw something at this position's upside is higher. An example here. I'm not here to tell you that the tight end that they drafted is a bad idea. In fact, it fits quite well. Great blocking tight end. They needed a tight end three. Okay, good by that. Pick the tackle that they drafted after him. Special teams, yada, yada. I guess what I would get at is if you were – you get one scratch-off ticket, Joe. You want, I'm going to let you buy a scratch-off ticket. They have the same odds of hitting. One of them is a dollar ticket for 1,000, and one's a dollar ticket for 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
What should you buy?
The latter.
The one that has the higher upside.
Sure.
So that was a big part of why I wanted to ask him the question about positional value because, and again, like the fantasy football point, the reason I thought it was, whether it's out of line or just misguided, is I'm using the NFL's practices.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you might think right. I'm just playing fantasy sports, but the NFL's decided that these guys are important. So it's not about, oh, they should have taken Jalen Royals in the fourth, which they could have done, or Torrey Horton, or in the third. Maybe they got scooped by the Patriots, who took Kyle Williams.
Yeah.
You know, one thing, like I was going to get to this with being with the draft. I had a lot of good questions, and we kind of got sidetracked. But
yeah.
How many mock drafts do you do? You do a bunch of mocks, and at the end of those mocks, they would have come up with draft classes. How many of those draft classes included receiver? He didn't have to answer this, but probably most of them, maybe half of them. It mm-hmm. doesn't mean that they failed. It means the board does what the board does, you know. The draft happens to you, and you just react to it as it goes.
Right. Well, he also made a point, though, and this came up a few times yesterday, over the course of the day, that, all right, so, like, you know, if I wanted a receiver in round three, they ended up with a third, right? Round three or round four. Like, well, what is that guy? That guy's going to beat out Curtis Samuel to be the number four receiver, or he's going to beat out Keon Coleman to be the number two or the number three receiver. Like, no, not on paper. When you come into a year and you draft a guy like that, you're not expecting him to unseat guys at the top of your depth chart. But if you ever want to get lucky or you ever want that to happen, if you don't, it's never going to happen if you just don't take the swing at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, I wouldn't expect Kyle Williams, if they had drafted him, to come in and be playing over Curtis Samuel at the beginning of the season. But You would leave yourself that upside, use your lottery ticket analogy. You're buying a lottery ticket that, okay, if he cashes, then he is. And you can't cash that lottery ticket if you don't buy it in the first place.
And there's another point about free
at that position specifically.
Sure, free agency versus a draft pick. If you draft a fourth-round guy, let's say he's Curtis Samuel, and after 1 year it's not working, you just move on. If Curtis Samuel's not working, his cap hit this year is $9 million.
Right.
It's just,
you're eating a chunk of,
you're eating money you wouldn't have to if you had, I mean, more picks, I guess, is one of the ways to get around this. We don't always have to talk receiver. We're happy to talk other positions. We're also happy to talk with you about whatever it is you want to talk about. So you can join us. Thanks for the calls today. Thanks for the conversations. Thanks for the kind words. Thanks for the clown emojis. Got a lot of those.
Clown emojis.
I got a lot of work yesterday.
Yeah.
The clown emoji was busy.
Listen, I saw, again, I tried to stay offline mostly. I saw one of like, oh, we're barred from the parade, if there ever is one.
Oh.
You will have to, the things you have to do keep me from that parade.
I'm barred from the parade.
I'm going to that parade.
It's like the guy that once called me on a Bills pregame show and said I wasn't allowed to be happy because I didn't want Josh Allen. All right, the sadness parade is over here.
Poor Josh Rosen just catching strays. He's just probably off doing whatever in his normal life now because he's not in the NFL. And he's like, I'm just getting, again?
Yeah.
Every day.
Last I saw his LinkedIn profile says he's a real estate agent.
There you go.
I bet he's a hell of a real estate agent. I don't know. 803-0550. I think the smart NFL evaluators know they don't know everything. And most reasonable people kind of know they don't know everything. I say that about us. And GMs as well. 803-0550. More of your phone calls. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the conversations here on a Tuesday morning on WGR.
But I need 5 minutes to tell you what a bad idea Deontay Johnson is. And I'm right there with you, by the way. I don't think it's a great idea, but here he is.
And it's not like he played good football last year.
No. Why do they think that, like, they're the team to get him headed in the right direction?
With no clarity at quarterback.
Absolute cancer to the locker room.
Oh,
every locker room he's been in. He flat out refused to go in the game in Baltimore. He's like, no, I don't want to play. It's like, what? That's not an option. You don't get to have that option.
93.7, 92.3. One of those is Pittsburgh, one of those is Cleveland. Which one's that? That's the fan in Cleveland.
92.3 is Cleveland.
Okay. Yeah. I believe that's 92.3, the fan in Cleveland. On Deontay Johnson, who was caught on with the Browns. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. We're on YouTube. You can catch us there. Maybe, yeah. Maybe didn't know we were there until yesterday.
Yeah.
Here we are.
You can watch.
Yes.
Very quickly, I was just, Sam Paniavanovich, who comes on with Show Up on the Bulldog on Fridays, he was just texting me about Offensive Rookie of the Year odds.
Okay.
And we were just talking about rookies in the break. He loves Omarion Hampton at 16-1 to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year. We were just talking about Luther Burden, though. He is plus 5,000. This is not something we could bet on in New York State, by the way. But I'm looking at Twitter right now, and I got Ben Johnson talking about how the ball tends to find his slot receiver, and that was Amon-Ra St. Brown in Detroit, and now Luther Burden is there, and he ran 88% of his routes out of the slot. I mean, if I could bet Offensive Rookie of the Year, I would be looking at Burden, especially given that he's behind, like, he's the same odds as Jalen Milroe.
Where did Milroe go?
Seattle.
Okay, that's right.
He's not even going to play, probably.
803-0550, draft is in the books. Some of the draft reaction. What's the story out there other than, I mean, Travis Hunter, the first press conference they had there in Jacksonville was all about his spot as receiver.
Yeah.
And what else?
I saw complaints yesterday about, was it Dan Orlovsky, somebody on ESPN, that they're not paying, no, it was Peter Schrager, they're not paying enough attention to Cam Ward. That he's the most under-talked about first overall quarterback in a draft that he can remember. And there's one reason for that. It's that Shedeur Sanders took over this draft.
Yeah.
Took it over. And I don't know if that's good or that's bad. I don't think... I'm not really that interested in him. He's Deion's kid. Okay. He was a fine prospect. He's got an ego. He went in the fifth round. Whatever. If he starts for Cleveland, like, whatever, it'll be interesting to watch. But
the Browns are signing up for an awful lot of attention.
But isn't it crazy? I mean, it's not because it is Deion's kid and all that comes with it. There's a reason for it. But he got 20 times the coverage that the quarterback that went first overall did.
Yeah.
And I don't remember ever seeing that.
Quick question for you.
Hmm.
Looking at a mock draft for 2026 at The Athletic.
Oh, geez.
From Dane Brugler.
Oh,
first,
no.
The fun question. We'll get back some phone calls. First, the fun question.
Just, God.
Who picks first?
First overall?
Yep.
Oh, because he's not just... Okay, good. He's first, not going with like last year's order?
No.
He's got the... The Steelers would be fun. It's not Pittsburgh?
Saints.
Saints. That makes sense.
The Bills, where do they pick?
32nd.
30th.
Again?
Yes, they lose to...
Wait.
This is good.
No, it isn't. That's not good. Who's 31st?
Because you see a draft order, you can see, like, all right, how'd it go? The Bills pick 30th, and they... So, if that would happen, who'd they lose to in the AFC Championship game?
Kansas City.
Baltimore.
Okay. Well, at least that's new.
Baltimore. And the Eagles win again. He put the Eagles at 32. What do the Bills take?
Dare I say it? They take a running back.
Safety.
Running back wasn't what I was thinking. Safety?
Safety.
Okay.
Alex in Rochester. Go ahead, Alex. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. So, you guys handled yourselves great yesterday. I like Bean, but I got to say, that was unprofessional and condescending. His response in the chair that he sits in should be, we're trying to get better at every position, you know, wide receiver, you know, that should be the response. So for him to come at you guys like that, I thought was unprofessional and condescending. And I also got to say that, like, we have to remember that the ways in which we lost against the Chiefs, which is really all the season comes down to, all the talk in the preseason, during the season, it's all going to come down to, at least we tend to believe, right, a game against the Chiefs or a moment against the Chiefs. And we've had the ball in those situations. I'm sure you guys have talked about this. I'm one of those listeners that kind of takes the offseason – I don't listen every morning in the off season to you guys, but during the season, I listen every single day. And I just think it's incredibly, off-putting the way that Brandon Bean handled that. So I think he should give you guys a private apology. I say no to a public apology because it's got to be good for your show. I could barely get on this morning. It was busy the whole time. Like your exposure, like all press is good press. So congratulations, you guys are getting some spotlight on you, but I think Bean was unprofessional and condescending.
Thanks, Alex. I don't need an apology.
For me, it was just the fantasy part of it. That was most of it for me. It's just the fantasy part of it. As if your opinion is just rooted in you play fantasy football. It's the only reason you could possibly think that this team needs a wide receiver. That's it.
Right.
He did. And I think there are tons and tons of good points, a lot that you made about why you would do it. That aren't, I just want guys to put up, 1,000-yard seasons big numbers.
I'm at spot track for why I would do it.
Right.
He did, of course, talk about the receiving weapons and say you got to include Kincaid. It was a different revisiting of think of him like a wide receiver and compared him to Kittle and Kelsey.
Yeah.
Or at least said those names as weapons in those offenses. Today, Kittle gets a big contract extension. We've said this a few times. This is a massive season to decide if Dalton Kincaid gets the fifth-year option picked up. He has to be good enough to...
Way better than last year.
Yeah, I think right? So.
And way more efficient.
Yep.
More volume. Him and the quarterback got to be on the same page. There was a number about... I don't have it off the top of my head, but there was something about uncatchable targets that he led the league in for tight ends and uncatchable targets. And that might sound like a quarterback stat, but whatever. It's just, to me, those two being on the same page. And then, again, figuring out what he is. Where is he this matchup nightmare?
Yeah,
is he the matchup nightmare when he's going up against linebackers? And are you even able to get him covered by linebackers? Is he a matchup nightmare for smaller nickel corners? I mean, I don't know. If he had his rookie season again, would they pick up the fifth-year option?
Maybe. That's 73 catches.
73 catches, just under 700 yards. Like, would that be enough for them to do it?
That's definitely not Travis Kelce, George Kittle caliber tight end production.
No, right.
Which gets to, we have to kind of decide, each of you out there has to decide what you're going to do. Is it the individuals or is it the sum of the parts? Is it Bean drafted Kincaid and he wasn't good enough or his numbers aren't good enough? Or is it he's part of an offense that scored the most points in football? Because right. I'm inclined to think that the second one is actually the better measure. When Bean says we scored 30 per game, I think that is right. And I was skeptical about your offense's ability to work. Then you brought in Amari Cooper and it kind of righted itself. The timing worked out. In his postseason presser, he said he said Cooper's arrival added 7 points per game to their production.
Yeah.
Which is, again, like this whole conversation where every headline out there that aggregated was like, Bean gets testy with criticism of his draft. He hadn't even heard criticism of his draft. He just heard he was about to get us asking, hey, this position, of course, maybe he doesn't undervalue it. He's traded for it twice at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't invested a lot of draft capital in it in the later rounds. They're not really throwing it there that often. I guess that's not even true. Like, whatever.
The point about like being number one in scoring, I mean, that's where it's like, what's the point of talking about anybody on the offense that was underwhelming or let them down? Okay, like, come at me with, all right, Dalton Kincaid needs to be better this year, and we plan on him being better. Can I just say to that, who cares? Doesn't matter. He was bad. He wasn't good last year, and you were number one in the league in points. Why do you care if Dalton Kincaid's better this year? Why do you care if Curtis Samuel stays healthy?
Yeah,
he was not healthy last year. You were number one in points. It's just it's too generic a conversation. The league goes through ebbs and flows, and I'm not saying that it'll go all the way back next year to the Bills are airing it out five wide receivers wide, but we've seen them before our eyes. They build a pass-heavy offense that had weapons all over the place and were one of the best offenses in football. And then the league started to shift and defenses played you different and you did something different. Well, last year, what did defenses start doing to the Bills? They bailed on the too high safety shell. And they still found a way to score. But those defenses are, if you stay stagnant, they're all going to go into the lab over the course of the offseason. They're going to try to find ways that work better against what you have than what they did last year. Just like what happened to them the first time, and then the Bills shifted, like the league did.
Yep.
So there will be more little shifts along the way, and I thought one of those little shifts would be getting somebody that can stretch the field a little bit, force those defenses to go back into the two-high safety shell that they weren't playing you at last year.
803-0550. 1-888-550-2550. One other thing I was going to mention, I forget what it was. We'll get to it. Hey, the schedule comes out in 16 days.
Yes.
2 weeks from Thursday schedule, mm-hmm. which means international games are usually the days before that. So we're probably 2 weeks away from getting those. You know, and they do like Good Morning America is going to announce who's on this and who's this and the NFL opening game of the season in Philadelphia and all that. So we'll keep taking your phone calls. If you're on with us, we'll get to you. Happy to have you. Thanks, everybody, for calling in and being passionate. We welcome it on the phones, whether it's a GM or it's a caller. You call and be passionate. We like to do the same and, hang out.
We also have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences. I don't think either of us are golfing today.
No, we did have an amazing golf experience, the four of us, at Diamond Hawk, which is on the list of WGR VIP golf experiences with this VIP golf card.
It's a beautiful course. And it was a little bit rainy at the beginning of the day, and we went on there, and the course was completely fine.
Yes.
Like, dry all the way around.
Memories were made, gentlemen.
Oh, we got to talk about the shot Josh had at some point. So for the low price of $129, you get Diamond Hawk, you get Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink's Golf Course, Golf Dojo as well. If it's a rainy day, you want to hit up the simulator. Your WGR VIP golf card will also hook you up with a free box of Vero X1 golf balls from Encore, and you get deals from Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit in Bowmansville. So, and a portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope, which is great. Get all the details. Purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com.
Uh-huh. Well, you think the last 24 hours for me have been stressful? Get to me today between 3 and 5:30. Champions League semifinal, leg one. Don't start loading up Liverpool highlights. Nobody cares. Get out of here.
Let them load up anything.
We go away. Let's talk about John.
You want to talk about soccer? This is the big day for you.
Excuse me. The music is strictly Champions League, so that's it. The league that your team is, congratulations, day one of the next year. We're focused on 2025.
Well, actually, the season still continues.
No, it's over. We're focused on 2025.
They actually don't get to lift the trophy for 27 days. Which I thought was a little weird. I was expecting them to hoist the trophy after winning.
Hockey players must be so jealous of that. What? They're not touching it for months? But love to not touch a trophy that we won.
I had a buddy who's not a Liverpool fan, by the way, quickly in this, that was like, this is so much better than North American sports, except maybe the cup presentation, for when they win. You know what I mean? Like Super Bowl, it's, everyone, all the players, here comes a million cameramen and whatever, and get up on that podium with Terry Bradshaw
right. And
Roger Goodell. And this was like the players running around the field, and Salah's taking selfies with the crowd. It's just the players on the field celebrating
for
an hour.
Jurgen Klopp, system manager.
That's all.
Jurgen Klopp, system manager.
This is the sound of the day, of the week.
Get more of your calls.
I still hear that Champions League sound in the background.
That's right. What are they singing? You'll Never Walk Alone?
You'll Never Walk Alone.
Hey,
what a tradition.
Objectively, a tremendous song.
It literally almost brought a tear to my eye, like them all going and singing that.
Yeah, it's great. Congratulations.
It's beautiful team song.
Nobody cares. See you later. Nobody cares about soccer, Joe. Anyway, Champions League leg one semifinal today. Wide open segment, more of your calls. Actually, we're going to talk with somebody in Cleveland about Elijah Moore.
Jonathan Peterlin, 92.3 The Fan of Cleveland. We'll spend a couple minutes just on Moore, and then we'll get back to your
calls. I like a comment from our own Nate Geary, who you hear on the station. Bills pre and post and halftime all day on Bills days, and here filling in with us a lot. The question I saw on Twitter was, do you want Elijah Moore to come in and compete for wide receiver number 5? Nate's comment was, he's competing for wide receiver 3. And I would agree with that. He'd be better, and maybe a better idea than a couple guys that are already here. So I think it's a good idea to sign Elijah Moore, and we'll talk with a Cleveland host about how it went there, even though the numbers aren't very big. The guy's a former second-round pick, and the Bills have been in talks. So that's coming up, along with your phone calls on this draft, the bigger conversation about receiver. You want to talk about the rest of the draft? We are absolutely ready to do that as well. So dial us up, 803-0550 on WGR.